If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All the time in my leadership seminars. It doesn't begin when someone gives you a title. It begins the moment you decide to take responsibility for more than your own task list. The real difference between a worker and a leader isn't found in what they do. It's found in how they think. A worker says, "Tell me what to do." A leader asks, "What needs to be done?" That one shift changes everything. The worker is absorbed in the task. The leader is absorbed in the outcome. One aims to finish the job. The other aims to define the right job. I remember early in my career when I thought hard work alone would build a fortune. I worked long hours, did everything by the book, kept every promise. But one day it struck me. I was working hard in the system instead of working on the system. I was producing results, but not direction. It's a trap many fall into, mistaking motion for leadership. Leadership starts in thought. It's not about authority, it's about clarity. The question is not, how can I get everything done, but what must be done first and why? The worker's focus is efficiency. The leader's focus is effectiveness. One polishes the ladder, the other makes sure it's leaning against the right wall. If you think like a worker, you become dependent on direction. You wait for assignments, for orders, for instructions. If you think like a leader, you generate direction. You set the tone, define the priorities, and carry the vision in your mind long before anyone else sees it on paper. That's where responsibility begins. Not for performance, but for purpose. A worker says, "I did my job." A leader asks, "Did my work move us closer to the goal?" That difference in mindset separates management from movement. See, anyone can work hard, but not everyone can think hard. Thinking requires space, reflection, courage to question. It means looking beyond the comfort of the familiar task and asking, what's the point of all this effort? When you start thinking like a leader, you begin to own the results, not just the routines. You stop blaming conditions and start shaping them. You stop waiting for opportunity and start building it. I tell people all the time, leadership is a choice you make long before it's a role you hold. You don't get promoted into leadership, you grow into it. The promotion only confirms what your thinking already proved. Workers measure their time. Leaders measure their impact. Workers aim to be busy. Leaders aim to be useful. It's a difference in perspective that turns ordinary performance into extraordinary achievement. Leadership begins the day you accept that the future is your responsibility. Not your company's, not your supervisor's, yours. Once that settles in your mind, your behavior begins to change automatically. You stop showing up just to do a job, you show up to make a difference. And that, my friends, is the foundation of all leadership. Before you can direct others, you must first direct your own thinking. Workers see their part, leaders see the whole. That's the simplest way to describe the difference in vision. You see, when you think like a worker, your world shrinks to the space of your assignment. You focus on your shift, your report, your numbers. You judge your performance by what's right in front of you. But when you start to think like a leader, you lift your eyes. You begin to see how your part connects to every other part, how one decision here affects 10 results there. You start seeing the web instead of the thread. Perspective creates purpose. Without perspective, even good work can feel meaningless. That's why so many people lose enthusiasm. They're busy, but they can't see where their effort fits. It's like spending your life painting a fence without realizing it surrounds a garden. A leader understands context. Every action, every system, every conversation contributes to a larger picture. The leader sees the flow of things, not just the fragments. While the worker asks, "What's my job?" the leader asks, "How does my job serve the mission?" I once watched two bricklayers at work. When asked what they were doing, one said, "Laying bricks." The other said, "Building a cathedral." Same task, same tools, but different minds. One saw labor, the other saw legacy. That's what happens when you see the bigger picture. You attach meaning to the motion. And meaning changes performance. When people understand why something matters, they work with more care, more consistency, more pride. Leaders bring that awareness into everything they touch. They remind others of the reason behind the routine. The worker worries about finishing the task. The leader worries about fulfilling the purpose. That's why leaders think further ahead. They ask questions like, "How does this connect? What are we really trying to achieve? Who benefits from this decision 5 years from now?" Most people don't look up often enough to see where they're going. They're too busy looking down at the steps. Leadership demands that you keep both views in mind, the details under your feet and the horizon in front of you. You can't guide a team if you can't see beyond the day's checklist. That's why vision is the first requirement of leadership, not eyesight. Vision. The ability to see what others don't see yet. The ability to notice patterns, connections, timing, and opportunity. When you develop that, you start making better decisions. Not because you're smarter, but because you're seeing from a higher floor. Leaders climb the mental stairs. They don't stand on the ground of immediate circumstances. They climb to gain clarity. From up there, they can say to the team, "Here's where we're going." And it makes sense because they've seen it from a broader view. Workers often mistake activity for progress. They see the next step and take it. But they never ask if the staircase leads anywhere worth going. The leader steps back, studies the map, and chooses the path that aligns with purpose. It's not about doing more. It's about doing what matters most. And the only way to know what matters most is to see the bigger picture. So start asking bigger questions. What's the larger goal behind your daily work? How do your efforts affect others downstream? What's the long-term gain of what you're doing right now? That kind of thinking turns ordinary work into leadership practice. Because once you can see the whole, you'll never again be satisfied with just your part. Most people chase goals, few pursue growth. That's one of the sharpest divides between the worker's mindset and the leader's. Workers think in terms of completion, getting it done, checking it off, meeting the deadline. Leaders think in terms of capacity, becoming better, stronger, wiser through the doing. For the worker, the finish line is the goal. For the leader, the finish line is the beginning of the next race, but now with greater strength. Every project, every challenge, every problem carries two rewards. The first is what you get from it. The second is what you become from it. The worker focuses on the first. The leader values the second. I remember a man once saying that he hit every sales target his company gave him, yet year after year, he stayed stuck in the same position. He didn't realize that goals alone don't promote you. Growth does. You can meet every target and still remain the same person you were when you started. Leadership requires a different question. Not, did I complete it? But did I grow through doing it? When you think like a worker, you build a resume. When you think like a leader, you build a foundation. A resume lists what you've done. A foundation supports what you can do next. And only growth creates that foundation. Every goal should stretch you beyond comfort. That's what makes it valuable. Easy goals create effort. Hard goals create evolution. The worker asks, "Can I get this done?" The leader asks, "What will this demand of me to become?" See, growth doesn't always come from success. Often it comes from struggle. The worker sees failure as a setback. The leader sees it as feedback. That's why leaders recover faster. They extract the lesson and reinvest it immediately. A worker finishes a project and looks for rest. A leader finishes a project and looks for reflection. What went right? What could improve? How can this experience strengthen the next effort? That review process builds maturity. When you build your thinking around growth, goals become checkpoints instead of endpoints. You start to measure progress not by trophies, but by transformation. You become more patient, more consistent, more strategic. It's the compound interest of leadership, steady growth that multiplies over time. And here's something worth remembering. What you achieve will always follow who you become. If you focus only on the goal, you might hit it once. If you focus on growth, you'll hit every goal that's aligned with your development. That's why leaders never say, "I've made it." They say, "I'm making progress." Because growth never ends. There's always another level of awareness, skill, discipline, or understanding to reach. Don't mistake activity for advancement. A lot of people stay busy without getting better. Leadership demands that you learn from every experience so that no effort is wasted. Every meeting teaches something. Every mistake teaches something. Every challenge shapes the next version of you. When you approach life with that attitude, you start to outgrow your circumstances. And when you outgrow your circumstances, opportunity starts looking for you. The worker chases completion, the leader chases capacity. And the greater your capacity, the greater your contribution. So keep this principle close. Success will rarely exceed the level of your personal growth. To think like a leader, commit to improving who you are faster than you improve what you do. Because once growth becomes your goal, achievement becomes automatic. Real leadership isn't handed out with a title. It's earned through example. Authority might get compliance for a day, but influence earns commitment for a lifetime. A worker depends on instruction. "Tell me what to do, and I'll do it." A leader depends on inspiration. "Watch what I do, and you'll want to do it too." The first moves people by command. The second moves people by conviction. That's the difference between power and presence. When people follow a title, they do only what's required. When they follow a person, they often go beyond what's required. Influence multiplies effort without needing force. It creates willing energy instead of obedient energy. I've seen managers try to push productivity through pressure, but that never lasts. People eventually resist, even if silently. But when someone leads by example, steady, disciplined, trustworthy, others begin to mirror that standard naturally. Leadership at its best is contagious. Trust is the foundation of influence. Without trust, leadership collapses. You can't fake consistency. You can't pretend reliability. Over time, people always spot the difference between a performer and a person of principle. And once trust is gone, authority has to scream just to be heard. Workers depend on oversight. Leaders depend on self-governance. A leader's word means something because their actions prove it. They keep promises, meet deadlines, honor standards, especially when no one is watching. That quiet integrity builds invisible authority. You see, a true leader doesn't need to announce leadership. It shows in how they carry themselves, how they treat people, how they respond under stress. People can sense steadiness. They can feel discipline. They can recognize a life built on order instead of impulse. That's influence. Leadership begins with credibility, grows with consistency, and endures through character. Titles can be assigned overnight. Influence must be built day by day. The worker often asks, "Who's in charge?" The leader asks, "How can I help move this forward?" When that mindset takes hold, people naturally start looking to that person for guidance, even without official authority. Influence begins to flow toward those who act responsibly and think clearly. Influence also comes from service. The more value you bring, the more weight your words carry. The one who adds the most value to others gains the most respect. Leadership is not about controlling people. It's about contributing to them. And don't overlook this. People don't remember every instruction you give, but they remember how they felt working with you. Influence is emotional trust built through rational consistency. Be firm, but fair. Be strong, but kind. It's not about being perfect. It's about being predictable in your principles. When you lead through character, you don't have to convince people. They volunteer their followership. They see in your life what they want in theirs. Influence isn't about charisma. It's about credibility. Charisma might open the door, but character keeps you in the room. So think beyond authority. Stop asking for control and start earning confidence. Because when people trust you, they'll go the extra mile with you. And that's where real progress begins. Workers think in tasks. Leaders think in systems. That single difference determines whether success becomes an event.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Or a habit. A task mindset says, "Let's get it done." A systems mindset asks, "How can we make sure it gets done every time?" The worker relies on effort. The leader relies on structure. Effort is personal. Systems are transferable. When you build a system, you create consistency that outlives you. I once told a young man, "Don't just fix the problem, fix the process that caused it." Because if you only fix the problem, you'll meet it again next week. If you fix the process, you prevent it from returning. That's how leaders multiply results without multiplying stress. You see, systems make success repeatable. They capture discipline in design. They remove randomness from performance. While a worker focuses on doing their best, a leader focuses on designing conditions that bring out everyone's best. The farmer doesn't go out each morning hoping the soil will cooperate. He builds a system, plowing, planting, watering, harvesting, so that good results become predictable. Leadership works the same way. Build patterns that make excellence automatic. The worker often works harder because the system doesn't support them. The leader works smarter by shaping the system to support everyone. That's why good leaders spend more time planning and refining than reacting and repairing. Effort alone creates short-term results. Systems create sustainable ones. Every hour spent building a process saves 10 hours of correction later. The leader knows that structure is not limitation, it's liberation. It frees the mind from chaos so energy can flow toward progress. When you think in systems, you start to notice cause and effect everywhere. You ask, what led to this? What triggers that? How can this flow be improved? That curiosity transforms operations into mastery. Leaders aren't content to solve the same problems twice. They build mechanisms that make solutions permanent. Workers look for efficiency in tasks. Leaders look for efficiency in design. And here's a key insight. A system doesn't have to be complicated to be powerful. A checklist, a daily rhythm, a communication routine, all are systems when applied with consistency. Simplicity is strength when it eliminates waste and uncertainty. If you want to grow your influence, start building small systems around your own habits. Don't rely on motivation. Design reliability. Set your schedule. Structure your priorities. Automate what can be repeated so your mind stays free for strategy. I'm telling you, that's what separates leadership from labor. Workers depend on willpower. Leaders depend on order. Once you understand this, you stop asking, how can I work harder? And start asking, how can I make it easier to do the right thing every time? A good system turns excellence into routine. That's why leaders don't chase success, they engineer it. They create frameworks where good decisions are the default choice. If your results feel unpredictable, check your systems. They always reveal the truth. You can't expect consistent results from inconsistent structure. When you learn to think this way, you move from pushing progress to designing it. And when progress becomes predictable, leadership becomes effortless. Workers respond. Leaders anticipate. That's one of the quietest but most powerful distinctions in the way people think. A worker waits until something happens, then acts. A leader looks ahead, prepares, and acts before the moment demands it. The worker lives by reaction. The leader lives by readiness. And readiness is the foundation of calm confidence. Most of the time, what we call crisis is simply the result of not thinking far enough ahead. You don't have to predict the future to prepare for it. You just have to understand patterns. Life repeats itself. Problems have cycles. Opportunities have signals. The leader learns to read those signals early. When you live in reaction, every day feels urgent. When you live in anticipation, every day feels strategic. The worker spends energy catching up. The leader spends energy staying ahead. The first survives the day. The second shapes the day. I learned early that foresight saves both time and reputation. Planning is not just a tool for efficiency, it's an act of leadership. It tells the world, I take responsibility for what's coming, not just what's here. Workers prepare for assignments. Leaders prepare for outcomes. Think about a chess player. The beginner looks at the piece in front of them. The master looks five moves ahead. Leadership is mental chess, thinking beyond the immediate move, anticipating consequences, and positioning wisely. You can see this difference in every field. The worker focuses on the next task. The leader studies the trend. The worker handles symptoms. The leader studies causes. One stays busy, the other stays prepared. Anticipation doesn't mean paranoia. It means awareness. The leader stays alert without being anxious. They train the mind to look for clues, shifts in momentum, changes in tone, new opportunities emerging. Then they act early while others are still deciding whether to act at all. Preparation gives you power. It gives you the ability to respond with purpose instead of panic. The worker says, I didn't see that coming. The leader says, I planned for that possibility. That's why some people seem lucky. They simply think further ahead. You see, a leader's strength lies in foresight. While others are reacting to change, the leader is already adjusting to what's next. It's not magic, it's attention. Leaders study cycles, patterns, behavior, and timing. They're students of possibility. And here's the beauty of anticipation. It makes leadership look effortless. People think you're calm under pressure, but the truth is, you already rehearsed the moment in your mind. You already decided what to do when the pressure arrived. The leader asks, what could go wrong? Not out of fear, but out of respect for reality. That question builds resilience. When you expect challenge, you prepare capacity. When you prepare capacity, you move through life with quiet strength. Workers wait for instructions. Leaders create options. They don't just plan for the best, they prepare for the next. So start thinking like that today. Instead of asking, what's happening right now? Ask, what's likely to happen next? That single question moves your mind from reaction to anticipation. Because leadership isn't about responding faster, it's about thinking sooner. Before anyone can lead others, they must first learn to lead themselves. It's impossible to inspire discipline in others if you live without it. It's impossible to earn respect from others if you don't respect your own commitments. Self-leadership is the starting point of all real leadership. Workers often wait for external motivation. They rely on deadlines, supervision, and pressure to keep them moving. Leaders operate from internal direction. They live by personal standards, not imposed ones. They don't need to be watched to perform well because they've learned to watch themselves. Personal discipline builds invisible strength. It shows up in the smallest details: punctuality, preparation, consistency. These seem simple, but they form the core of credibility. If you can't manage the little things in your own life, you'll never manage the big things in anyone else's. You see, leadership doesn't require perfection, but it does require mastery over reaction. You can't guide a team if you lose control under stress. Calm is a leader's currency. The ability to stay centered when others panic earns trust faster than any title ever could. I've met many people who want to lead, but few who want to prepare themselves for leadership. They want the influence, but not the inner order. But influence without order creates confusion, not confidence. Leading yourself first means mastering habits before managing people. The worker says, when I'm in charge, I'll be more disciplined. The leader says, I'll become disciplined, so I'm ready to be in charge. That's the difference between waiting for position and preparing for responsibility. Self-leadership begins in your daily routine, your morning, your schedule, your follow-through. They all reveal your readiness for more. Every promise you keep to yourself builds strength. Every excuse you accept weakens it. Over time, those small decisions form your leadership reputation long before anyone calls you a leader. Priorities matter. Workers often let urgency dictate their actions. Leaders organize by importance. They know what deserves attention and what can wait. They understand that focus is a form of respect for themselves and for their purpose. A leader's first job is clarity. What do you stand for? What do you expect of yourself? If those answers aren't clear, others will never know how to follow you. People don't follow confusion, they follow conviction. When you manage yourself well, you set a silent example. Others begin to adjust their behavior just by observing yours. That's how influence begins, without announcement, without effort. It starts with self-mastery. And remember, leadership isn't about being above anyone. It's about being ahead, in discipline, in composure, in example. It's not authority that earns followers, it's integrity. If you want to rise from worker to leader, start by leading the hardest person you'll ever have to manage, yourself. You don't need a promotion to begin. You need a decision to take ownership of your habits, your time, and your attitude. Once that decision is made, leadership starts to grow naturally. Because the truth is simple. No one will believe in your direction until they can believe in your discipline. There comes a moment when every serious person faces the choice to keep thinking like a worker or begin thinking like a leader. That moment is the shift, It doesn't always happen loud or dramatic. Sometimes it happens quietly in the middle of an ordinary day when you finally realize that doing more isn't the same as becoming more. The worker's life is measured by motion. The leader's life is measured by direction. The worker says, I'm busy. The leader says, I'm building. One fills time, the other fulfills purpose. Leadership isn't about escaping labor. It's about elevating it. It's about trading repetition for refinement. The worker asks, how can I get this done? The leader asks, how can this be done better, smarter, faster, stronger, or by someone else more capable than me? That's not laziness, that's leverage. You see, when your thinking shifts, your results begin to multiply. Because now you're not working just for output. You're working for impact. You stop measuring effort by hours and start measuring progress by outcomes. You realize that the goal of leadership isn't to do it all, but to make sure it all gets done well. This shift also changes how you see responsibility. Workers look for instructions. Leaders create them. Workers manage their own piece. Leaders manage the picture. And over time, those who manage the picture start painting new ones. Leadership thinking moves you from reaction to creation. You no longer wait for circumstances. You design them. You stop letting conditions dictate your effort. You decide the terms of engagement, the structure of priorities, the rhythm of growth. That's the power of perspective. You begin to understand that leadership is not a title to reach, but a temperament to cultivate. It's a mindset that says, if I can think better, I can live better. If I can plan better, I can serve better. If I can become more, I can give more. And once you think that way, the ordinary becomes meaningful again. Tasks become lessons. Challenges become teachers. Effort becomes investment. The same work, but a different world inside your head. That's the shift. From labor to leverage, from activity to achievement, from execution to evolution. The worker says, someone should fix this. The leader says, I'll start improving it. The worker asks, who will guide me? The leader asks, how can I guide myself? The worker says, I'll do my part. The leader says, I'll help others do theirs. That's the transformation. From dependence to direction. And make no mistake, this shift doesn't happen overnight. It takes reflection, humility, and practice. You'll still have days where you think, like a worker, focused on what's urgent. But the more you train your mind toward vision, growth, and influence, the more often you'll operate from leadership instinct instead of worker reaction. Eventually, your entire approach changes. You stop chasing approval and start building results. You stop counting hours and start counting impact. You stop asking, what do I get? And start asking, what do I become? You see, that's when leadership becomes a lifestyle. Not an act you perform, but a way you think. Every day, in every situation. And if you remember nothing else, remember this. Leaders are not born, they're built. Built by thought, by choice, by habit. Built by trading motion for meaning and reaction for responsibility. Because when your thinking rises, everything else eventually follows.